Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Hello, hello, and welcome back. We're so glad you're joining us once again, whether you're listening on KMUN live on the radio, or whether you're listening to one of our podcasts on Apple or Spotify.
You did the old reverse on me.
I did.
Because usually you end with, or listening live on radio.
Right. Well,
usually you're plugging the podcast and
I am,
everything
it's kinda
else.
It's kind of new.
It is kind of new.
We're new to podcasts. I mean, we're like everyone else out there that's kind of cool and hip. They're going to podcasts.
Oh, and speaking
our guest is already laughing.
Speaking of cool and hip.
Yes. We do have
that's
cool
a fantastic
and hip
segment.
Guest.
This is Amy Faulkner from Gillywagon.
Hello.
And we're going to dive into what Gillywagon is, but in a minute.
Okay. I love the name.
So we're going to talk
already.
Goonies. I know.
I know. It's just a fun. It makes me think
that's why we like working with
fun
them.
Fun things are
just
happening.
From the name alone.
Just,
we like
just the name.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Not the experience or the planning.
All right. So we should get right to it.
Let's do it.
I got nothing to plug. Goonies weekend's coming up.
It is, and we're excited. Okay, so I'm gonna go to this is slang, vintage slang, Amy. Okay, so they're looking at my flashcard, and the word or the phrase is off the cob. It's from 1935, and it's an adjective.
Off the cob. I believe that means, I guess first, and then you can appear smarter than me. Off the cob, back in the 1930s, I believe that is something that is tasty.
Ooh, completely wrong.
I'm going to go with unhinged.
Ding, 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 ding.
No.
Yes, pretty close. I mean, at least. I mean, it's corny, hokey, sappy. So
off the cob.
Off the cob. That's completely
okay,
off the cob.
We might be able to bring that one back.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that one.
See, I like it.
All right.
Okay.
You might have redeemed this whole
the vintage
bit
slang
that we're doing. Yeah. All right, so the history highlights, things that happen tomorrow, May 19th, as always, icebreakers or things to talk about around the dinner table or a way to make friends.
Yes.
With trivia or always okay. Possibly winning on Jeopardy. All right, May 19th, 1536, Anne Boleyn, second wife of King Henry the VIII, as I call him, or Henry the VIII, is executed on charges including adultery, incest, and conspiracy against the king.
Yep.
Wow.
But where's the love story?
Where's the love story? Yeah.
Didn't end well for her.
It did not end well. 1828, U.S. President John Quincy Adams signs the Tariff of 1828, also known as the Tariff of Abomination,
ooh,
into law to protect industry in the North.
We love tariffs.
Yeah, it's very timely.
We had an entire episode about tariffs, in case you're curious.
But this was to keep out industrialized goods from... or manufactured goods from other places so that the North could sell their stuff to the South. And it really annoyed the South that they no longer had options.
Right.
And it's not the reason for the Civil War, but it certainly does not make the North and South friendlier towards each other.
Yeah.
All right. 1856. Speaking of things that don't make the North and South like each other, 1856, Senator Charles Sumner of Massachusetts speaks out against slavery. And this might have been the speech that causes the representative to come in and beat the heck out of him with a cane.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I remember this.
We've talked
this
about
one.
That.
Yeah, fights that happen in Congress.
1884, Ringling Brothers Circus premieres in Baraboo, Wisconsin.
Oh, interesting.
I've been there.
Have you? To Baraboo or to Ringling Brothers?
Well, both.
Okay.
And am I pronouncing that right?
I think so. I didn't actually say the name when I went there.
And why did you go to Baraboo?
Yeah.
There is a circus.
Oh,
circus museum.
Oh, yeah. Oh, how fun.
And that is why you went to Baraboo for
does
the
that,
circus
That
museum?
Should not surprise you
it
at
does
all.
Not. It makes me like you more. All right, 1885, the first mass production of shoes.
Ooh. Okay,
interesting. Jan Matzeliger's Consolidated Lasting Machine Company in Lynn, Massachusetts. I was thinking about that for the history highlight of the day.
It's, yeah, pretty.
Shoes.
Pretty important. And the mass production, right,
yeah.
of something.
1885, though.
1885.
That seems a little late.
No, because in the Civil War, we don't have right and left shoes. You just get a pair of boots the right size and put them on. No right or left. They're
it's
like squared
for
off.
Kids.
Yeah. 1906, the Federated Boys Club organizes. It later becomes known as the Boys Club of America.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 1925, Malcolm X is born. Okay. Great book, the autobiography of Malcolm X. 1935, Lawrence of Arabia dies.
I saw that one, yeah.
1962, Marilyn Monroe sings a breathy happy birthday to JFK.
Yes, I saw that. That one was mine, too.
Is that iconic?
It is. I mean...
You going to share a fun fact with us?
I am. So her sequined dress is actually what becomes even more iconic. And when it was sold at auction in 2016, it sold for $4.8 million.
You know, I stopped bidding at 3.5.
The dress. I mean, the dress. It's like, oh my gosh. Okay.
I didn't check into who bought that.
No, I didn't.
What are they doing with it?
Right.
Are they walking around wearing it?
Well, right. I don't know.
But our history
has. Are they singing happy birthday?
Maybe. And it wasn't very good.
Well, no. I mean, of course not. Okay. But yes, we also know other factors, right?
Yes.
But, yes.
What other factors?
Jade our opinion.
All right. But our history highlight today, I think had the most impact on history. 1883, William F. Buffalo Bill Cody opens Buffalo Bill's Wild West Show in Omaha, Nebraska.
Nice.
And this is probably one of the key things in shaping the worldview of the Wild West.
Right.
Because he has a Wild West show. He's got Native Americans shooting. He's got bank robbery stagecoaches. And he takes it all over the world. And yeah. That's what people think are cowboys and the Wild West.
Even though it's so, entertainers.
Yeah. So yeah. I think that had the most impact on history.
Interesting. You know, another little fact, I was in Annie Get Your Gun when I was in high school. So I was part of the Bill Cody's Wild Wild West show because the children performed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I want to see the little kid dressed up as Buffalo Bill Cody.
Right. Well, I mean, it was high school. So, yeah. Oh, I mean, okay. I was a younger kid, but it was high school student. So,
okay. Yeah. I thought maybe it was elementary school because that would make me laugh trying to do the hair and the and the goatee.
How fun. So. Well, let's move on to something even more fun. So, again, we have Amy Faulkner, right?
Yeah, it's me.
Yes, with Gillywagon here today to talk to us a little bit about your company and you. So, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up?
Oh, this is a good one. You were just talking about Wild West shows, and I grew up in Florida with mermaid shows.
Ooh.
So a little bit different. And I grew up in Florida, partially.
What part of Florida?
Central East Coast. It's a little tiny town, Sebastian, Florida.
Okay.
The population when I lived there was 3,000 people.
Gosh.
I think 3,016, it said on the sign. And then I lived in New York the other half of the year, upstate New York, in the middle of nowhere, not the New York anybody thinks of.
And where in upstate New York?
A tiny, tiny town only in New York. No one's ever heard of it. I would be shocked if
what's,
you said
what's
yeah.
it close to?
Nothing.
Oh.
Absolutely nothing. It's 90 miles away from Buffalo. It's on the Pennsylvania border.
Oh, so it's Western New York.
So
it's
how,
not yes. upstate New York.
It's Western.
How do you end up in two of the most populated states and then you find or your family finds the tiniest places to hide away?
Apparently, my parents do not like people and they don't like winter weather. So
got
Florida
it.
During the winter, New York during the summer.
Okay.
And avoiding people.
I think we're causing trouble because I think that they're in the witness relocation program.
Right. I mean, those are odd places to live.
We've sold them out now.
Probably.
So yeah. You should warn them and you should take heed.
But growing up, so you truly grew up and you would go from one to the other, though. So you went to school then in Florida. Was that?
I would start school in New York.
Oh, okay.
And spend September in New York. Around October, we would go to Florida, sometimes a little bit later. Finish the last day of school in Florida. My parents would pick me up at the bus stop and we'd drive back to New York. We didn't do it every year, but most of those years.
I mean, it sounds like an adventure. What did little you think about that?
I didn't know any different. I got sunshine during the winter and it's pretty sweet, I think. But
sunshine during the summer.
Yeah, exactly. And I got somehow, because Florida schools start earlier and end earlier, I ended up getting a shorter school year, which I thought was really cool.
Genius. I love it.
Yeah, if you did it in the reverse, you would have gotten a much longer year.
I know. Thank goodness that didn't happen. I'd have 10 feet of snow and a really hot summer. It would not work in the other
direction. So what were your parents doing at this time? And how were they making this change too?
My dad had a construction company, so you don't build much in the Buffalo area in the winter. Mm-hmm. And as far as I believe, my grandparents also did some snowbirding. So it's a family thing. And yeah, that's just, my sisters are older. They did the same thing.
I love it.
So how did you end up in Seattle?
The furthest place you can go in the United States.
But a big city.
And be away from Florida.
Oh.
No. I lived in Richmond, Virginia for quite a while. And I got tired of it, wanted to move. I had a good friend in Portland, and he was like, you'll love Portland. It was cheaper to fly into Seattle to visit. I flew into Seattle, fell in love with Seattle. 6 weeks later, sold everything, moved out here. And that was over a decade ago.
Oh my goodness.
So at what point do we get into geocaching that leads you to Goonies, yeah, which leads you to Astoria?
It's a long story, but
well, you gotta do it in about 18 minutes.
I can do it in 18 minutes. The abbreviated version is I've been an event planner producer for a very, very long time. I moved here 2007, 2008. We had a recession, in case you didn't remember. And then around 2013, I had an offer from geocaching to come work for them as their international event producer. And I helped the geocaching community with their events across the world.
So talk about geocaching just a little bit, if somebody doesn't really know what that is.
It's been a long time since I've been there, so now I'm going to have to recite what's way back in my brain. But basically, geocaching, when they turned on the switch so people could use GPS coordinates, somebody in Oregon, as a matter of fact, decided that they were going to hide something in the woods and see if somebody could find it using GPS technology. And then that turned into a spreadsheet of all the places that things were hidden in the woods. And then it turned into a company. And now they have something like 9 million users. And I think it's 3 million geocaches around the world that you can go and find and explore the world through other people's eyes and how they hit something. And some of them are super creative. And
cool. I mean, it's like treasure hunting for all ages.
100%.
Right? I mean, and then what keeps it going is the next person, right? Like you keep it going and then the next person keeps it going.
It's completely community driven. Like people in the community are hiding the geocaches and pointing out their favorite parts. And I think, and I'll tell you, geocaching, I don't work there anymore, so this is a sincere review. There is something in it for everyone. So if you're an adult, you're kind of seeing new places, you're seeing the same city that you might live in a different perspective, or the person that hid the geocache, they're hiding it because it's their favorite place and they want other people to see it. They trade things within the geocaching boxes. So kids a lot of times have a lot of fun finding those things and trading them. To me, it feels like a lot of McDonald's gifts, yeah, Happy Meal gifts or whatever. So like, that's not the part for me. The part for me is the exploration, but there's really something for everyone. And it gets you out of the house and you're walking around and it's really inexpensive to do.
A lot of times it's like a stamp, like an ink stamp that you can just put in a book or something to kind of mark.
Or check it off. There. It's on the app too, right?
You're thinking more letterboxing.
Yes.
But geocaching does that sometimes, don't they?
They have a logbook that you.
Okay. Because we have something at the Flavel House that every now and then somebody comes in and they're like, hey.
Is it a geocache or a letterboxing?
I was pretty sure it was geocaching.
Stamps and letterboxing, and that's the really old school one. That's super cool too.
Well, I am old school.
I was gonna say, I mean, it is Mac.
I wasn't gonna call you out.
Write checks.
Exactly. So, how do you get into this? So let's go back a little bit further. So, you are done with high school. What comes next?
Oh my goodness. I went to school for a little bit. I dropped out of school for a little bit. I ended up moving to Virginia. I worked for I worked for a single man that started a spa, and he had never started a spa before. So I ended up managing a spa as a teenager. That spa, it was back in the spa days when people would come have corporate groups, and I started organizing events for the spa, which then got me into event planning with a large, very corporate company. And it all kind of took off from there.
So then you find your direction. This is what you're going to do. You're going to do events on different scales. So then you come out to the Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us then about the transition from geocaching to the next adventure.
Well, I worked for geocaching, and that's how I started with Goonies. I'll throw that in there.
Oh, okay.
And then at some point, there were some changes being made at geocaching themselves, and I had the opportunity to go to Denver to paint a mural on the outside of one of their transit stations, and I didn't have enough PTO, and they were making changes in the company, so I convinced them to let me go.
Oh, because you wanted to paint a mural.
Because I wanted to paint a mural.
It's a really good mural.
It must be.
It did pay well.
Oh, good.
And there was some questions about what was happening, and it just didn't feel like the right fit for me at that time. But I have a lot of respect for the founder and love working with them. And so I went back to doing my own thing. And that turned into Gilly Wagon.
So where does the name Gilly Wagon come from?
As you may have guessed, I really like circusy type things. And a Gilly Wagon is the cart, the ornate cart that takes the circus from one place to another.
Oh, okay.
So we have a saying, we bring the fun, and we do it in a gilly wagon.
I love that.
And how many times do you have to explain that to people?
A lot. I do talk about it a lot. Yes. And then I get called Gilly very often.
Oh, do you really? Mm-hmm. They think that's your name.
Yeah. Because my last name is Wagon.
Oh.
But
I was going to say, really?
And once they get that story, do they then very quickly, like, I get it. That is a great name for your company because that's what you do.
Usually. Not always. Okay. We have on our website, all of my staff has a circus title of what they do, like a plate spinner, a lion tamer. And some people actually take that literally. Like I have a lion tamer on my, staff.
Gosh.
So I can't control that.
Doesn't everybody?
They should.
So bring us to the connection to the Goonies. What happened? What brought you to the Goonies?
Around the time of the 30th, I ended up here in lovely Astoria. And went to the Goonies house, saw that there was an event coming up. I reached out to the Chamber of Commerce and said, hey, I want to be involved. At the time, I also worked with a nonprofit that got volunteers together. Talked to the Chamber, said, I'm going to do this. I'm bringing 50 volunteers to help out. Oh, and I can run this treasure hunt thing on this platform. Put the whole thing together, got super involved. It was like my childhood dreams come true. And 10 years later, here I am doing it again.
So that was one of the highlights of the 30th anniversary, of things that we heard about, things that gave positive feedback. Why do you think, I mean, describe a little bit what you did in terms of geocaching and how the reaction was, because I'm sure you got feedback.
I believe in unexpected moments of delight, and it comes up quite often around our office that the things that you remember from events are not the color of the napkins or the floral arrangements or how the tables were placed. It's those moments that you weren't expecting that bring some sort of Marie Kondo-it joy to your life. And so what we try to do with the treasure hunt is have moments where you can relive those little pieces of your past and your imagination when you were watching Goonies for the first time.
So you're a Goonies fan.
I'm a huge Goonies fan.
She's seen it a couple of times.
A couple of times.
I can almost recite it. I mean, Max definitely got me beat on this one, but I am a huge Goonies fan.
I mean, it's what they are doing, right? They're on this treasure hunt too. So, I mean, I feel like you're full circle.
And I think it inspired my sense of imagination and my sense of wanting to like see the world differently and see what's out there. And I still do that.
So as a fan, because I know a lot of locals don't quite get it.
Mm-hmm.
They recognize that it's great for the economy. They recognize that there's a bunch of people coming here and they spend money. But if they're not fans of the movie, and maybe they haven't seen it in a long time, they don't really quite understand. So talk about, you visited before the 30th as a fan.
I did.
And what was it like that you've seen this movie on the screen and now you're stepping into the movie?
Well, we mentioned that I'm not from this area. So at the time that I showed up here for right before the 30th, I had gone to the coast and somebody was like, oh, we should stop there on the way back. And I was like, what is it? And they said, the Goonies house is there. And then I like squealed and of course I had to go. So I went up to the house, like relived all my dreams, truffle shuffled. And it was just magical that you could see the house and you had this instant connection back to it. And then when I came to the event and saw all the people and sharing in that community and that feeling of like, this is bigger than just me. Everybody liked it. It's really nice to see.
So you got a encore for the 35th that was canceled because of COVID.
I did.
And the only thing we really did was another geocaching.
Oh, yes. Perfect.
I have a really great story about that that I'll give you super quick, but I was still, when we went into COVID isolation, I was still prepping for the 35th anniversary. And at some point, you know, when we were like, oh, this will be over in 2 weeks, and then you kind of had that realization that it wasn't going to happen, I was like, I'm at home in my house all alone. Somebody's going to come find me. And I am carving fingers for a bone organ, and they're not going to know what I'm doing. And this isn't going to be over in 2 weeks, and I just have to stop.
And you have to watch the movie to know what she's talking about. Oh, my gosh. So what did you do with them?
They're still in my studio, but I put them away so it looked less freaky or whatever.
Like there's fingers.
Less serial killer-y.
Yes. Yeah, right?
So that brings us to the 40th.
Mm-hmm.
So your company, working with the Oregon Film Museum, the Clatsop County Historical Society, the chamber has taken a step back. They're still involved. We still love Regina, and she is a flashpoint for all the Goonies fans.
Absolutely.
They adore and love her from around the world. But the chamber needed to step back a little bit, and now it's our show, and you are creating all these magical moments, and we're just less than 3 weeks away.
It is less than 3 weeks away.
So talk a little bit about some of the activities and what you're anticipating. How do you think people are going to react? And what are they going to find when they get here?
So we have some surprises that I'm not going to tell you about. But we have a weekend packed full of all things Goonies and ways for Goonies fans to meet other Goonies fans and have fun. We're going to start Friday night out with an 80s prom.
Oh, I love it.
You don't need a date, but you might need big hair for it. And then
with Aquanet at the door.
Yes. I think Aquanet sales in this part of the country are going to go way up.
I told somebody similar to close to my age. Mm-hmm. I said there were still tickets available to the 80s prom. And a guy just shook his head. He said, no, I already went to the original and it didn't work out.
So Saturday, we're going to have bus tours of filming locations around town, and you can go to the Goonies house. We also have the roller skating party, the costume contest
at the armory,
cast and crew panels at Liberty Theater. We've got some cast coming in.
Oh, exciting!
Really great people to talk to. And there's going to be another geocaching.
Oh, fun.
Treasure hunt, and then something called Under the Grate, which is a Goonies immersive experience.
Oh, that's exciting. I'm curious. Can you do, you're both looking at me like you're not going to share anymore.
We're not gonna
Okay, share. All right. So tell me then about the tour bus. So is it going to go to Cannon Beach too? Because I love, oh, it's not. Yeah. Okay.
It's too far away.
I know. But I love when people then finally, you know, it's still magical, but then you're also like, oh, it is a movie. Oh, you know, right. Oh, they weren't.
It's not a bike ride away.
It's not up the hill. I mean, when my daughter watched the movie, she was, just kind of baffled by all of that because she had only seen the real things. And then she was seeing it on the movie. Right. And she was just like, oh, well, that's not how they can't ride their bike there.
Maybe they were really good bike riders.
That's
really
true.
Really fast. And you know, I mean, just driving around Astoria, you can do a really nice 45 minute to an hour long tour.
Perfect.
And they're still making that loop. There's still some kind of dead times that we've had to do trivia and to keep everyone like, hey, there's nothing to look at besides the town right now. There's no specific right. filming locations. So, you know, to drive down to Cannon Beach, you'd have to kill long. So much time. Okay. It would take forever. So.
But also, this town is lovely, and there's not a bad view anywhere you are.
Well, so. And a 45 minutes hour tour is probably perfect length anyways, right?
Exactly. I mean,
yes. Yeah. It's absolutely perfect.
So do I have to sign up for these events? What do I need to do?
It's gooniesweekend.com.
Okay.
And there's some of those events are sold out, but we still have some really awesome opportunities. And even if you come and do the treasure hunt, it's free for everybody to participate in that. And go from there.
Of course, there's the Oregon Film Museum and the Heritage Museum, too, has
wonderful exhibit, right? Quiet on Set, the filming of the Goonies, and that's kind of fun. A lot of behind-the-scenes things.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I like that I'm seeing bubble up is all these fans. Part of it is just about being here in Clatsop County, because it is a Cannon Beach thing, too. Mm-hmm. Being here with other fans.
Yes.
And there's all kinds of things that are bubbling up, like, hey, what night do we all want to just show up on the beach and have a bonfire? And there's some kind of bike ride that's been organized just by fans.
I know.
It's amazing.
It's really exciting to see everything. And the town also, like, they're doing so many things that are Goonies related as well.
Well,
and we also have the 80s con going on.
We do. We have an 80s market on Saturday that for some reason I forgot all about, but I'm so into this idea.
Oh, it should be fun. I mean, I think one thing too about this niche of tourists is they're so nice. You know, when I worked at the Chamber of Commerce, we never complained about Goonies fans, right? I mean, because you have those different type of tourists that fit each mold, but Goonies fans are just... in awe of everything, right? I mean, they're in awe of being here. They're like you.
It does. I mean, you have that moment of like, oh yeah, I can explore the world and there is more than what I can see on ground level. And so, yeah, every fan is like in this happy moment and it's really great to see.
And it brings you to this beautiful place, like you mm-hmm. said.
So do mention who are the cast members, major cast members that are going to be here.
We have Cary Green, who played Andy in the film.
Lovely.
Corey Feldman, who played Mouth.
Fun.
And we have one of the Fratellis.
Oh.
Robert Davi.
Okay. Oh my gosh, you guys have great cast members. Well, that's pretty exciting. How long ago did you have to book them?
It's been a process.
It has definitely been a process.
That's good.
And to me, I mean, we've not had two of them before, so that's mm-hmm. exciting. Corey Feldman has come to some of the other ones, but you know, there are a lot of 40th anniversary of the Goonies things happening around the country,
sure,
because it's big. But for us to be able to get three in a small community is kind of amazing and kind of wonderful.
Okay.
Because some of them are not cheap.
I bet. So. And where is that event? Is that event sold out to see them?
It's at the Liberty Theater, and I believe it's sold out.
Okay.
Don't lose hope, because things change a little bit here and there.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Amy. It was so nice to meet you.
Thanks
for bringing this magic to our community. And we're so glad you brought some of your magic to here, too.
And besides gooniesweekend.com, how would somebody find Gillywagon? Yes.
It is teamgillywagon.com.
Team Gillywagon. All right. Thanks for listening. Go make some history, and we will catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.